Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by SuperValu Insurance, looking out for you and yours with our new life and mortgage protection insurance.
But first, Cork native Samantha Barry has a stellar career in America, having worked her way up in journalism and magazine editing to her role as editor-in-chief of Glamour magazine. One of her earliest jobs was here in RTE Radio 1, and she's also worked with the BBC and with CNN, and she now has a new string to add to her bow. Samantha Barry joining me from New York. Congratulations. Tell me about the new job.
Thank you. Now, global domination. No, it's great. They announced it the day before Women of the Year, but I'm the global editorial director of Glamour, which means that all the Glamours around the world, I'm going to lead them. And it's really exciting. So we've got Glamour in the UK, Spain, Germany, here in the US, which is obviously a massive market for us, and then Glamour Mexico.
It's a fascinating magazine. Explain to people just how big it is, Sam, will you, first of all? Like, it's a multinational online now women's magazine, isn't it?
Yeah, so basically Germany, we still have print because it's a big print market for us. But like, Glamour's been around since 1939, and I think, and then it in the US, and then it, you know, since the early 2000s in the UK and other parts of Europe and Mexico too. So it's got this great reach. And I think the lovely thing about it, and the thing I get most excited about, is that it touches on lots of different parts of women's life, right? Whether that is what they're watching on, like, Love is Blind, or whether that's what they're fighting for, like reproductive rights here in the US. It's got this storied history where it's been able to do it all in that true way of, like, a lifestyle title, where we talk about style and beauty, but we do it through the lens of women, obviously. And then we can also do things like really highlight the women that we care about or take on causes that matter to us. For example, here in the US, we've been really fighting for paid leave. In the UK, they've been looking at image-based consent and really trying to move the needle and the laws around that. If you look at Germany and Spain and Mexico, they're also tackling what's happening in their world with women in their country. And we come together and we do lots of fun things. Like this year, I think you'd see in all the Glamours, was pretty sports centric year. We had a lot of Olympic coverage. A lot of the Women of the Year were Olympians. There was, I think, there's a lot more sports coverage on Glamour in recent years than there had been in the past. And that's something that can feel global, but really take on, you know, a local perspective.
Yeah, no, it's a wonderful mix. Now, listen, I know Anna Wintour is your boss. I know you're not going to tell me this, but what is Anna Wintour like?
You know what? She was my meeting before this call. I'm such a big fan. She's an amazing supporter. She's very straight talking. She has a wicked sense of humor, which I think sometimes comes across, and then maybe other people are surprised by it. You know, she sat in the audience for Women of the Year next to Billie Eilish, who was there, and she gives great notes. And I think she is I've worked for and with and around pretty inspirational women, including yourself back in the day in RTE. And I think I am a huge fan of a straightforward boss that tells you what's working, what's not, and that's who she is.
Now, where did it all begin for you, Sam? I mean, your parents are still, is this right, in Ballincollig? How did you get to New York?
I grew up in Ballincollig. My parents are in Bantry now, living a very lovely West Cork life, which is where my dad grew up. My mom's from Bear Island. So once they had us all off to school, they left suburban life behind and went back to West Cork, and they absolutely adore it. You know what? It's interesting. I talk about this a lot in the US. I think there's something special, and I don't want to be Pollyannish about it, but there's something special about being a young girl that grew up in Ireland in the 80s and 90s, the sense of possibility that you had. And I saw it in two ways, right? Like, I saw it, there was a woman as a president, right? Like, that was one of the things. It just didn't make, you know, we're in the US now, we're weeks away from a sprint to an election. They still haven't had a woman as a president. When I looked at the world of media, you know, growing up in the 80s and 90s in Ireland, you're surrounded by women doing amazing jobs. Like, whether that was like Anne Doyle, you know, doing the 9 o'clock news, or Veronica Guerin as reporting, like, none of those jobs felt like they were breaking glass ceiling, but they were. It just, but it was normal in Ireland. So I think those two things definitely played a part in my ability to dream big and dream big jobs and big opportunities, and that's one. And then I think my mom, I love my mom so much. And I talked about this recently, but my mom, I was very lucky and honored to get a doctorate at Ulster University just this past summer. And my parents and everybody came. My brother, who's a guard in Killarney, came up with my niece. Aww. And my sister flew in from Sweden. And my whole speech was about my mother and the words that she taught us, all three of us growing up, where she was way ahead of her time in like what I would say is like positive reinforcement. And what I mean by that, she would say like, you did a good job, what did you do? And you have to say back, I did a good job. Or she's like, you look really good today, what is it? And you'd have to say, I look really good today. And it sounds so simple, but it really does change how you feel about yourself. And it's kind of a practice that I still do to this day, where I get up in the morning and I try to say something nice about myself.
That's a lovely tribute to your mum, and obviously so well deserved. So what does she and your dad, and I think of you sitting there, you know, a couple of weeks ago right beside Beyonce.
Oh my god, I don't know, they're so funny. I think they love it from a distance, but like they probably on the family WhatsApp group enjoy more like their picture of the grandkids from my sister and brother than the Beyonce cameos, you know.
How did you end up sitting beside Beyonce? I love your Instagram, by the way, it's brilliant, but okay. Like you were sitting there right beside Beyonce. It's a pretty cool photo.
Oh my god, I can't, like, honestly, Beyonce goes to nothing, and it was magic. We also didn't really know until she sat down next to me that it was happening. Okay, so the origins of the Beyonce story are, when we do Women of the Year, which is like the biggest thing that we do at Glamour, it's, you know, 30 years it's been happening. It's my favorite thing to do. We get together and we spend months on this. We plan who we're going to honor that year. What difference have they made, not only that year, but like in the world of women? And we sit down as an editorial team and we start thinking about it, right? Earlier this year, and it goes back to my conversation about moms, we were talking about these great people that we were thinking about honoring. And I looked back at some of the older speeches in the last couple of years, and the person that always comes up in a Women of the Year speech is their mother. In that, I've always been fascinated at the women that raise amazing people. You know, I'd been watching Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce, who are big American football stars, and one of them is dating Taylor Swift, on a podcast here in the US, and watching, I was like, whoever their mom is has taught them how to be very emotional and like deal with their emotions and be very gregarious. And I watched, you know, Billie Eilish be this, you know, young superstar, and I was fascinated by her mom. So we started coming up with a list of who are the moms that have raised the most famous, talented men and women in the world. And we came up with Tina Knowles, Donna Kelce, Maggie Bard, and Selena Gomez's mom, Mandy Teefy. It was a newer kind, like these were women that don't grace the covers of magazines necessarily, but maybe the exception of Tina Knowles, who's Beyonce's mom. And to explain the concept to them and tell them we wanted to get them together for a cover that would kind of mark moms for us. So we did that. I flew to LA in the summer, and we got them together. And I did the interview, which is like hit a million views already on Instagram. If you haven't seen it, go watch the mom's interview. So in that, we did the cover. I did the interview, and then obviously we honor them in New York every year. So it wasn't until Beyonce sat down next to me that I realized that she was actually coming, because and it was a very, like, Billie Eilish and Phineas were in the audience for their mom, and Donna Kelce was there with her friend, and we had done a big red carpet in Times Square on the Jumbotron. And we got into the venue, and I sat down. I did the opening speech, and I sat down at my seat, and I text my team, because I was like, there's empty seats next to me. Why is there empty seats? Because I was like, the show started, we're ready to go. And in that moment, I turned around and I just saw this blonde bombshell glide into the room, and the oxygen go out of the room in a pretty significant way. And Beyonce sat next to me, and then we had a bop, and she held my hand at one stage, and I was like, oh my god, this is pretty iconic.
She actually seemed like a nice person, for what it's worth, didn't she?
Yeah, she was really involved. Like Kelce Ballerini, who's a big country star, came out and sang. And as she walked on stage, you could see that Kelce had no idea Beyonce was going to be in the audience. And you could see her, you know, react in real time. My Irish friend, one of my best friends, Orla, was in the audience. And she said, like, she just watched Kelce Ballerini clock Beyonce. So that was an amazing moment. She was so involved in everything. And then obviously the moms got up and spoke, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house.
It's nice though when you're talking about Beyonce there, in the same breath you're talking about your Irish friend who was there, because what I gather about you, Sam, is although you're living this incredibly glamorous life with this big job in New York, your real rooted friends are Irish, aren't they? Even Donny from CNN is a good friend of yours, Donny O'Sullivan.
Totally. I think sometimes we all have like a love Donny. Donny worked with me at CNN, and there is a little, you know, there's a great group of Irish people that are the core of my friendship group. And they're the core of the people that I want to see on a Friday night. They're the people I want to celebrate with and, you know, watch trash TV and do all the very normal things. But they're also the people I want to invite to things like Women of the Year. So, we're a great group. And there's a humour that's sometimes hard to translate if you're not
from
Irish.
Cork.
from Cork. But I think that people that are, you know, in our lives and that we've had relationships with, or people that have married into our group of now, you know, they're almost Irish adjacent, so they get some of the jokes. Although recently I was trying to explain to somebody, and I think I pulled up the video, I was explaining one of my birthday presents from my friends for my 40th birthday was like the Italian 1990 jersey, because I was I just loved Italian 1990, and I was explaining to American friends this concept, and we went down what I can only describe as a YouTube rabbit hole. So we brought up like we brought up 90s, and we did the like We're All Part of Jackie's Army, that song. Then I went down, I'm a big Eurovision fan, Miriam, like I'm not gonna lie to you. So Mill Street was also a defining Niamh Kavanagh, absolutely my favorite Eurovision song of all time. Then Roy Keane comes up a lot, and we end up bringing up the Tommy Gorman interview. It's like kind of like Irish immersion if you hang out with us in New York, and we will have clips that we pull to.
You know what's interesting, Sam, about your magazine? As you said, loads of style, beauty, culture central to it, but you've always had a political focus too. So I was thinking, how are you approaching the election coverage? And, you know, do you worry about how divisive politics is right now in the US?
It's so interesting that you ask that, because I think it's front and center for us. Like we've always been covered politics, right? Like Glamour is where Obama wrote his famous I'm a feminist issue. If you look back at our history, we've had everybody from JFK to, you know, women running for office in this, you know, we've had extensive interviews with Hillary Clinton. And my first year as Glamour's editor-in-chief, one of my women of the year was an American politician called Kamala Harris. Politics has always been front and center for us. We did a big package that came out a couple of weeks ago, and it was looking at women across the US who are divided. Let's be clear. We did a couple of stories. We did the story of an abortion, because reproductive rights is front, you know, really something that is a ballot changer potentially this year. We talked to the unwavering Black women voters in North Carolina, because again, if you're a Democrat, that's you're kind of depending on Black women voters showing up to the polls, in particular in swing states. We also looked at generation dissatisfied, we called them. And that is those on the left and the right on college campuses, and how the conversation they're finding, it seems more divisive than ever. And the reality is the Glamour audience is as divided as American is, right? Like they are, there's a lot of conservative and liberals that read us. They come to us for different things. But I think it's really important to look at the lens of politics through the personal, and that's what we do at Glamour, and we do it to women. But some interesting stories, and it is the final sprint now to November. It's mad. What's the take over there on
it's
the
just
US
fascinating
election?
People are very interested in it, Sam. I think everyone just thinks it's really close. That's what everyone's thinking. I'm getting over to cover it, so that's good.
I love that. We also get text messages from people staying up late at night to watch Donny on CNN.
Absolutely.
Which is, I think, like, any Donny doc on CNN is like you're getting, or like parents are staying up till 2 o'clock in the morning, and not his parents, just other people's parents to watch the coverage. So I think it's, again, it's like Irish people are so curious about the world. And I don't know if it's the same everywhere else in terms of like wanting the blow by blow, minute by minute, what is happening in the US election. I think that's something kind of unique to Ireland, and you wouldn't get that appetite necessarily in every country.
It's interesting, actually. Now, look, I know you want to mention the Glamour book as well, Samantha. Tell me about putting this together and what it's about. It's 85 years, really, of women breaking boundaries.
85 years. Look, the first day I walked into Condé Nast to work at Glamour, I actually went into the archives, which is it's just this beautiful like history of where we've come and what we wrote and what we shot and how we covered. So we have this book, it's just released this week. I highly recommend it. It is a great present. But what it does do, it's just a beautiful coffee table book, and it charts our history, right? When you think about it, one of the biggest sections for me that I was fascinated about was what Glamour did in the 60s and 70s, and we called it the Liberated Woman. It was the era when Gloria Steinem started writing for Glamour and became a contributing editor for 7 years. It was
Wow.
the era that we first talked about queerness or divorce in a major way. It was the world where we were in the pages of Glamour. They were talking, fighting for Roe v. Wade, and the fact that we're doing it now again is a little disheartening. But I think you can. It's just such a beautiful history, and it looks at everything, right? Like it looks at the different eras, and it looks at the different editors and what their impact was. And I never go anywhere in the US without somebody telling me their Glamour story. Like at the Met Gala, Uma Thurman wanted to come up to me because her mom was a model at Glamour in the 50s, and she wanted to talk about that. Chris Wallace, who's on CNN, tracked me down during the week because he wanted to get something from 1965's Glamour. So I think it's a beautiful kind of history of where what we've done and how we've covered things and where we continue to go. So I highly recommend it.
And Sam, I know you have all these like dinners with Beyonce, all the lunches, all the glamour. What about the dating scene in New York? Did a little birdie tell me that you might have found a special man?
Well, this is probably the person that I've been. Yes. I have a special someone. This is the person that I've been emerging into the Mill Street World Cup 1990. He's got it. He has a fast education for Irishness, in including over the summer where he went away with my Irish friends for the first time. And I looked around, and it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and there was a train going around this kitchen in the Hamptons. And I was like, oh, this feels like an Irish party. I think he's, yeah.
Now, have you brought him to meet the mommy and daddy yet?
No, he's been to Ireland. He hasn't met my parents yet, though.
Oh, yeah.
No,
Next time.
that's yeah, not yet.
Well, he's a lucky guy. Anyway, before I let you go, it's interesting, Sam, you were talking earlier about your mother and how when you got your honorary doctorate, you know, last year, you praised her a lot. Because I was going to say to you, how do you pinpoint where your confidence comes from? Because you're holding down this huge job. It's in possibly, you know, the most, I don't know, hardest to make cities in the planet. So is it your mom? Where do you get that confidence, that inner sense of yourself from?
I think, yeah, that's definitely the origins of it. And then I think you surround to what we talked about earlier, you surround yourself by people like that are your cheerleaders, that are in your corner. And I think the origins of my confidence comes from my mom and I'm very close with my like whole family. My brother, I talk to my sister 4 times a day on FaceTime. She's in Sweden. But also I think the people that you choose to spend the off times with. And for me, it's that group of Irish people in New York. They change how you feel about yourself too, right? The confidence, and we're always each other's biggest cheerleaders, and I think that's important.
Well, Sam, I'm so delighted for all your success. Samantha Barry, you still sound like that young woman from Ballincollig, Glamour's first global editorial director. Congrats on your new role. Thanks so much for joining me this morning, and mind
Thanks.
yourself.
Thank you.
Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.